It's the 414 hour at Vote on KBN.
The 414 hour indeed, live from the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open at the Bog in Saukville on the 30th birthday of the Bog in Saukville, July 15th, 1995. Their first day of business. The Arnold Palmer Course celebrates year 30 by welcoming back ESPN Milwaukee Open. He's Kyle Wallace. I'm Alex Strope hanging out with you on this beautiful Tuesday for golf.
Yeah, it is.
The golf getting done here at the Bog, so everybody coming to party around us.
Yeah, that's true. It is true. People are starting to turn up, playing little bags by us. Golf carts coming by.
Drinks are flowing.
Yeah, they are flowing. I'm jealous, man. I'm jealous.
You know, Scalzo and Brust was a wildly popular radio show.
It was.
Afternoon Drive for years. Still a lot of whiskey left over from their batch.
How many bottles did they produce? It sounds like quite the investment.
They must have made 100,000 bottles because there's like 1,000 inside.
Have we been promoting that they have it?
I didn't realize it was still on shelves.
I didn't realize it was still on shelves.
Scalzo and Brust hasn't been a radio show for 2 years.
Go buy it.
But
please,
there's still Scalzo and Brust whiskey.
Please go buy it so it can sell out and get off the shelves.
I wonder if they've pulled it at this point and they just break it out on special occasions. Yeah. I don't know what the story is.
Weddings might be sponsored by Scalzo and Brust bottles if we don't sell it in sooner. They should have did like a tequila.
Oh, you're a tequila guy?
Oof,
me too.
Boy, I love me some tequila now. Tequila runs in my family. We all love it.
Did you pick up your bottle of tequila? We were at a tequila event together a couple months ago. Did you pick up your bottle yet?
Something happened.
What do you mean?
Long story short, they didn't charge my card, and I never got back in contact with them, and I told them, like, hey, y'all didn't charge my card. So.
Oh, so you don't get a bottle?
I do not. So
well,
I'll be happy to
share mine with you.
No, it's all good. I'll work that out.
Well, I'm just saying we'd have to sit down and drink tequila together one night if you're interested.
Oh, that's too much. Just ask it too much. I don't like you like that.
You waver a lot.
No, I like you, but I don't like you like that.
I'm your favorite of the KBN crew, though.
I love you all equally.
You've always told me your favorite.
On air?
Yes, on air.
That's debatable.
Off air you have.
I told everybody off air how much they're my favorite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't hang out with them.
I know which Green Bay Packer is not your favorite, given his lack of quarterback pressures in 2024.
I love all my Green Bay Packers.
The NFL releasing their annual top 100 players of 2025 list, slowly but surely. We are through the first 23, number 77. The last number released, that was T. Higgins, the wide receiver of the Cincinnati Bengals. One Green Bay Packer has made the list so far. Any guesses?
Well, we talked about it yesterday, so I do know.
Okay, it is Rashawn Gary at number 80. I don't know how the order in which they are releasing these.
I think they do it by tens. It goes 90 to 100.
Yeah, but we're only through 77.
Yeah, because now it's not.
Does 76 come out?
Did this get released today?
I think it got released today, yeah.
Oh, I'm assuming they'll probably, maybe it's 75 through 79.
Okay. I don't understand how this works. Regardless, Rashawn Gary, number 80 on the NFL.com list, in the NFL list, which is voted on by the players. The players fill out a top 20 form. A bunch of them do in a survey, and ultimately that gets added together.
Somebody put Rashawn Gary in their top 20 as players?
That's correct. And I think typically you're not supposed to put your teammates.
That's not what happened in this case.
Well, Rashawn Gary was number 50 on the list last year.
Yeah, he had a good season. Well,
decent
season.
He dropped 30 spots to number 80 this year.
Which he should have.
Which, good for him. Maybe we undervalue him, given that his lack of sack production.
No.
But you said he was very good in the run game. Yeah. 9 tackles for loss. He had 15 quarterback hits and 7.5 sacks last year.
And according to ESPN analytics here, Gary ranked first among all edge rushers in run stop win rate after producing 63 wins on 170 plays in 2024. Shout out to the Packers Wire.
So maybe we're a little bit too hard on Rashawn Gary. But he's making that price tag. He should have double-digit sacks. I think we would all agree on that.
Yeah, he should have, if not double-digit. I'm expecting this guy to be, you know, wrecking stuff. And I just, far too often, I don't believe he's wrecking stuff. He didn't have enough pressures. He was down in pressures last year. He didn't win a lot on pass rate, rush rates. He had not a high pass rate win. Pass rush win rate. And so for me overall, for how much he gets paid and what the expectations are, he hasn't met expectations, right? And so that's why we're so critical on him, is because he needs to do more. Like, yeah, you can be great at stopping the run, fantastic, but what you get paid for, you don't get paid really stop the run, buddy. You get paid to rush the quarterback, and you have not excelled at that. And unfortunately, that led to the Green Bay Packers having an inconsistent pass rush in moments and games that you really needed the most. The games that you talk about, the Green Bay Packers went 0-6 when it comes to the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Lions, three teams that are better than him, better than this team. He didn't show up. He didn't stand out. You need your best players to show up in the biggest spots. And what the Green Bay Packers don't have on the defensive line is somebody stepping up when they need them most. And that guy for that defense is supposed to be Rashawn Gears on the defensive line. There's one guy that showed up consistently for the Green Bay Packers, and that was Xavier McKinney. That's the only one.
By the way, not a defensive lineman.
Yeah, it's safety. And you need somebody. Having somebody in the front seven that steps up is crucial. It's critical because they're in the mix of things every single play. Whether it's a run play, whether it's rushing the passer, they have much more of an impact on the game. Yes, a safety in a corner can make a play to change the momentum in a sense of getting the interception, but they're not playing in the box consistently. So the Green Bay Packers need to have a guy in the box that can be a disruptor. And unfortunately, right now, time is running out for Rashawn Gary and us having hope. And the page is turning to now the guy that everybody's expecting to step up for this defense on in the front seven is who?
Edrian Cooper.
Somebody only played, what, 8-9 games last year? And so it shouldn't be like that, but Edrian Cooper has showed so much more potential and so much more flash than what Rashawn Gary has for us this year. Now, if Rashawn Gary can find a way in year two to bounce back and start, you know, getting more pressures and consistently getting after the quarterback, then that could make a whale of a difference for how far this team goes in the playoffs. But it's a big year for Kenny Clark and a big year for Rashawn Gary as well.
Yeah, and Kenny Clark outlined on an ESPN.com article talking about guys at different position groups that need a bounce-back year in 2025. Clark, one of the defensive tackles mentioned on that list.
Doable.
I want to go back to this top 100 list because something else caught my eye regarding the Green Bay Packers, and that is the fact through the first 23 or 24, whatever that math is, we are through 100 through 77 as we count down to number one, which will likely be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, etc. at the top of this list. Two quarterbacks have been released so far. And they're two quarterbacks that Jordan Love often gets compared to. Tua Tagovailoa, who of course was in the same draft class as him, and Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys. Tua, number 91, Dak Prescott, number 78. Now, those are guys that both dealt with injuries last year. I would guess we are seeing Jordan Love's name soon, if not at all.
Yeah, you're going to see Jordan Love's name. Based off the names that you have, if Tua's on that list and Dak is on that list, and
then Jordan Love's on that list.
Then Jordan Love is 100% on that list.
What other names can you confidently say entering the season he is above? Like C.J. Stroud, for example.
He should be above C.J. Stroud in my book. I do believe he'll probably be above. Jaden Daniels did fantastic.
He won't be above Jaden Daniels.
And what he did in the playoffs, Jaden Daniels might end up being above him, but that's the guy. That's the guy that should be up there.
Justin Herbert?
I can see that'd be tough. Justin's really great. I can see him being above Matt Stafford potentially. I feel like Matt Stafford might be taking You think he won't take it down?
No, because of the Super Bowl win. Players respect him too much. This is a players list, keep in mind.
Okay, so they still do. So, I mean, then there's not too many quarterbacks that he'll be above. Maybe Baker Mayfield, even though Baker had a great year last year. And so, I mean, there's not too many quarterbacks that he's going to be
above. But if definite quarterbacks above him, let's just start throwing them out. Jared Goff?
Jared Goff will be above him.
And obviously,
Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Burrow, Josh Allen. I believe Justin Herbert should be above him. Jalen Hurts would be above him as well. Like, these are all the guys that are above him. There was a top 10 list of quarterbacks that we took a look at recently. And I would say most of the guys on the list, I'm okay with them being above Jordan. I think Jordan will end this season higher. Yeah. But at the end of the day, there's going to be some guys above Jordan based off past performance.
Yeah, and that's the part where I'm getting hung up. Because if there's going to be that many quarterbacks on the list, which typically there's about 12, he's coming soon. He's going to be somewhere in that 70 to 60 range at most, probably.
Yeah, I would see him
which
being
top 60.
Which is
a little concerning,
60.
No?
Nah, I mean, but you have
would
to
prefer your quarterback
to
top
50
player. Really.
He was 30. Yeah. He's 34 last year. He'll probably be.
He's going to take a backslide.
He'll be 50 to 60 this year. And I'm not mad about that, only simply because of the fact that, listen, there's no way we can spin this. Jordan Love played okay last year, but he didn't play at an elite level consistently. But a lot of that can be attributed to the fact that Jordan Love was injured. So unless the players are thinking about the fact that, oh, they're taking into the, you know, factoring in that he was injured last year, then okay, maybe he might be a little bit higher. But the fact that Jordan Love was injured last year, he did not perform up to the expectations that we all had of him, and I think most people in the league had of him, he should fall. He should slip. But this is a year-to-year list. If Jordan Love again bounces back and has another great season this year, he'll shoot right up that list. He can shoot into the top 15. That's how good he is.
I agree, and I think he can be that good. I wouldn't say that's how good he is. I think that's how good he can be, for sure. I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. But a lot is remain to be seen with Jordan Love. He needs a big bounce-back year in 2025, and I think he will bounce back. I think this team will be better. I think they'll be more consistent. And to be real honest today, I think they're going to win the NFC North this year.
So that's where I
think 12 games is going to be good enough to win this division.
The reason why we say that and the reason why you believe that is you don't believe that the Detroit Lions will win 15 games this year. You think that they regress at some point, right?
Given the coordinator turnover and a lot of their coaches leaving for other opportunities.
They could win less games in a regular season and still be a formidable opponent to make it to the Super Bowl.
Oh, they'll absolutely be a formidable team, and a team that's in that conversation. I'm not disagreeing with that.
That's what it comes down to.
I think at least two teams in this division will be heavy in that conversation. I think you look at the NFC East and the NFC North and you go, well, there's four teams that can probably be legitimately in the Super Bowl.
And you're not including the Vikings simply because you don't know what they have at quarterback.
Yeah, that's the part that ties me up, and I could change my mind, right? Obviously, you can change your opinion as you get new information. But I'm not a J.J. McCarthy believer. I never have been. I am a Kevin O'Connell believer.
You're not a J.J. McCarthy believer because in college he won a national championship. I don't know. I'm lost.
Did the Michigan Wolverines win a national championship because of J.J. McCarthy?
They ran the football, but he was able to be a great game manager. We got a guy who's a Michigan fan, Chris, who's producing this show. And listen, I didn't think J.J. McCarthy was worth being a top 15 quarterback selected, but he was a top kid coming out of college. He's fast as well. Obviously, he was good enough to learn the offense under John Harbaugh. So, I mean, Jim Harbaugh. Under Jim Harbaugh, I mean, so obviously he has something there. And what the Vikings have done, the Vikings aren't idiots, right? Their GM has come in there and they've built a pretty good organization. I think that they saw something in him, the reason why they made him the number 12 overall pick a couple years ago.
He's Kyle Wallace. I'm Alex Drove hanging out with you live from the Bog in Suckville for the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. Dave from Aaron on the text line. 800-990-3776. With all these national reports and lists coming out and having or missing Packers low on them, I hope this puts a chip on their shoulders and they prove everyone wrong. Bulletin board material is real. I just don't know if some of the stuff we're discussing even qualifies in that. You know what the bulletin material they're using is Caleb Williams, Cole Kmet writing F Green Bay on a helmet.
Yeah, when the game comes around. Going into this season, the only thing the Packers need to focus on increasing getting better in beating good football teams. Like if the Packers slip up and if the Packers go 11-6 this year and they have two games where they slipped up but they still beat some really good football teams, like they beat the Ravens, they beat the Lions, I'll be happy because that means they're more equipped to compete in the playoffs. And that's what matters to me.
Universal Windows Direct.
If you are like my boy Alex Strofe and love that jingle, I got something that you love more than the Universal Windows Direct jingle. The actual Universal Windows. I'm telling y'all this right now. When my boy Jamie Shea came to my house for my in-home consultation, me and my baby girl, we sat there, we learned about the windows, and we walked away saying, we have no choice. We have to upgrade our new windows with Universal Windows Direct. And let me tell y'all, I am not joking when I say this. The temperature in our house is so consistent and so stable because of our new energy-efficient windows that we have from Universal Windows Direct, and it did not cost me an arm and a leg to upgrade my windows, and it won't cost you an arm or leg either because right now you choose your offer. Yep, you can pick the offer that works best for you. Listen up, KBN Nation. You can have payments as low as $99 per month, or you can have 12 months, no payment, and no interest. Seriously, upgrade your home now. Relax until next year with no payments for 12 months with no interest or payments as low as $99. Plus, Universal Windows Direct will give you free in-home window and energy assessment. They'll show you exactly what your windows might be letting in, when they might be letting in heat, and where they're letting in heat, and why your bills are going high for energy, and how your new windows can help keep your money in your pocket. So if you're like me and you want to upgrade your windows, don't wait. Call them today at 414-410-2000. That's 414-410-2000. Or go to UniversalWindowsDirect.com to schedule your free in-home estimate today. And like me, you'll be saying, I love my Universal Windows Direct.
He's Kyle Wallace. I'm Alex Strofe. Coming up next, we take another look at the MLB All-Star Game coming up tonight. What's wrong?
Are we doing Wheel of Chris at all today?
We are going to do the Wheel of Chris at 4:30, yes.
Oh, wow, okay.
And then we will talk to our buddy John Anderson to wrap up the show at 4:45.
All right, sounds
good. Sound good? That's a good roadmap
for you? I kind of want to flip it.
You want to do Wheel of Chris next?
Yeah.
And then do All-Star Game and then do John Anderson?
Yes.
Your wish is my command. We do the Wheel of Chris coming up next. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman live from the Bog in Stockville.
Dance the night away, live your life and stay young on the floor.
Kyle Bruston-Ortman continues live from the Bog in Saukville, the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. The golfing has come to a close, and the party has commenced behind us, Kyle.
Okay, so this is it has. So we talked about this last year. We got to make it happen. We have to have a KBN mini golf outing. We have to. We have to. We got to have a KBN mini golf outing where we compete against each other.
Okay. I'll win.
Oh, my gosh. Really, Strofe?
Yeah, it's mini golf. Mini golf does not take
real skill. It's running. You couldn't run.
What?
You could not run.
You, when are we running during mini golf?
You didn't have the ability to run and do the three cone drill, so
yeah.
I don't think you have the ability.
Well, I had the ability to do it.
No,
you
no,
it
no, 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 no.
I did
no,
it.
No, no, no. You didn't do it.
No, I did it.
No,
I
wouldn't call that doing it.
Well,
you
I did
it. Something, but that's not accurate.
Okay.
And
sure.
So just because it's mini golf, stop saying that. You have to have the ability to hit the ball.
Mini golf is more luck than skill.
That's not true.
You have like barriers and bridges and windmills.
You do realize there's a lot of people that are really good at mini golf because they know how to golf and they know how to tie.
I know how to golf.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, kid.
All right. Are we going to have teams or 1v1v1?
You got it. 1v1. I mean, it's just like it's four people golfing. Whoever has the lowest score wins.
All right. That'll be me. And then I think it'll be Ben, and then I think it'll be Brad, and then I think it'll be you.
Okay, that's fine. You can believe whatever you want to believe, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's free will, baby. It's a free country.
You are right. People tell me that all the time. When people make bad decisions, they say, hey, they got free will.
Free will. Free country. I get to say and do what I want and what I please. And what I want to do and what will please me right now is the Wheel of Strofe / Wheel of Chris, run by Chris Larson back at the Gruber Law Offices. One call out.
Did you find the button, Chris? Because I know Strofe has that hot mess.
It is a hot mess.
Yeah,
that's on
I got
me,
it,
Chris.
Yep.
All right, here we go. Let's play the Wheel of Chris.
It's time for the Wheel of Strofe.
All right, Chris, take it away. What do we got on the Wheel of Chris today?
Well, I'm not going to spin the wheel in a sense. I'm just going to go over the topics because the wheel's actually
That's
in
fine.
The studio. So,
That's fine.
So let's start off with ESPN putting out their list of top NFL players at each position going day by day. Today is the they're doing off the ball best linebackers top 10 ranked by executives, coaches, and scouts. No Packers on this list in the top 10, nor in the others receiving votes / honorable mention category. They're also putting out a list, though, of top 10 players who have dropped out of these lists from last year. And there is one Packers player on that list of players who have dropped out from the rankings, and that is Kenny Clark at defensive tackle, who was number 9 in the 2024 preseason list. He's now ranked in this year's list. He started all 17 games for the Packers for the third straight season, but didn't have a very good statistical season, per se, after he announced earlier this year, too, that he played the entire 2024 season with a foot injury sustained in week one
had
in
a
Brazil.
Bunny.
Yeah. So do you guys still think he's a top 10 player in his position? Are you expecting a bounce-back season from Kenny Clark after a not-so-healthy journey last year playing?
No, I fully expect Kenny Clark to have a bounce-back season. I think, again, it's very difficult to play through injury. He played all 17 games. You can't really push off that foot the way he wanted to. And so I definitely expect – I can't say Kenny's going to be the guy he was 2 years ago, but I do think he's much closer to the guy he was 2 years ago than what he played like last year, which would mean a world of difference for the Green Bay Packers to have Kenny Clark getting 5 to 7 sacks, to have Kenny Clark having more pressure, to have him being – faster off the football. So overall, I do believe Kenny Clark is closer to top 10 than what he was this year.
I tend to agree with you on that, Kyle. I think he's still capable of being disruptive and leading that defensive line in the interior. Is he in the top 10? Maybe not. He's probably right on the fringe. I'm surprised he didn't receive any votes on this
he
list.
He wasn't great this year.
No, I mean, he dealt, as Chris alluded to, with that injury all year without really telling
anybody. He had to have surgery at the end of the season.
It makes sense as to why maybe he wasn't as productive as he has been in past years. He's still young, but I've said this a few times this offseason. If he doesn't have a bounce-back year, I do believe this will be his final year in Green Bay.
Yeah. I mean, it should be his final year. Boy, that's a bad contract. Rashawn and him could be gone if they have bad years. And yeah. Lucas will still be here.
Well, you better go make a move then, which the Packers have not done at that position group. This offseason, running it back players-wise, other than a few late-round draft picks, and bringing in a new coach, which they hope solves the issue.
Wheel of Strofe!
Chris!
All right, moving on here. After playing the last 7 years in Boston, Al Horford is moving on. The 40-year-old, looking to head to a contender perhaps this offseason, or he could retire, is also an option for him as well, but If he does play, there's apparently four teams interested in him. One of those, the Golden State Warriors, who he was supposed to sign with last month, but that never happened. Another team is the Los Angeles Lakers. Another team is the Atlanta Hawks. And the fourth team is your Milwaukee Bucks. Apparently interested in him as well. What do you guys think? Would you be good with the Bucks signing Al Horford?
I don't want nobody that A, start with a 40 on the Milwaukee Bucks. A 4? Hell no. Keep him away. You need to take him to a retirement home.
Yeah, I feel similarly to Kyle when it comes to Al Horford. While the guy is still pretty solid and wouldn't be an awful depth piece.
Sends the wrong message. I'd rather play Tyler Smith.
I don't know that they're bringing in a guy, to your point, Kyle, with that number of the age. You know, like, I like some of the moves they've made in the past couple of weeks. I don't know if I would be a huge fan on this one, but if it's for the right price and there's not a lot of minutes expected, sure, I'd be fine with him as a very, very deep in the depth chart depth piece.
Yeah, no.
He was kind of a Bucks killer for a while.
He was. No, yeah. he definitely was. It just sends the wrong message to Giannis, saying, "Hey, Giannis, we want to win a championship. Here's Al Horford 10 years too late."
Yeah, but again, I don't think he's playing a major role if they were to bring.
So what's the point?
Depth pieces. In case Bobby Portis or Jericho Sims deal with an injury.
And he said he wants to play for a championship contender.
Yeah, I mean, the Bucks still fall into that.
You said what?
The Bucks still fall into that. They're certainly further down the list.
Okay.
You have Giannis, you always have a chance.
So you have Ting. Oh, that, sir, is the smartest thing you said today.
No, I got to be honest with you. My negative Nelly quesadilla line was the best thing I said today.
Oh, yeah, quesadilla giving you diarrhea.
Yeah, if you don't want to be excited about the Brewers in the regular season when they have the best record they have at the All-Star break in their franchise's history, don't get excited about a relationship because he might get heartbroken, and don't eat a quesadilla because he might get diarrhea. I thought that was my best line of the day.
It actually resonated with me because I'm lactose intolerant. But
are you?
Cheese. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that about you.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been diagnosed, but, you know.
Milkshakes don't sit well?
I don't eat certain dairy products before the show or during the day because it can cause issues. TMI?
TMI. Yeah, let's move on, Chris.
Wheel of Stroke!
All right, well, let's switch over to the gridiron for a guy who's a little bit younger than Al Horford and who is also looking for a new team this offseason. That's Von Miller. So after playing 15 seasons and winning 2 Super Bowls, he also could maybe retire, but apparently there's 3 teams that are interested in him as well. NFL analyst Brian Baldinger, who's close friends with Miller's agent, said those 3 teams, he's not going to give them the 3 teams. One of them was maybe Baltimore, he thought would be a good option, but he's not going to give out what the teams are that might try and pry Von Miller and bring him in. But would you be maybe thinking about the Packers maybe kicking the tires on Von Miller to help out their pass rush?
I kind of feel the same way I do about Al Horford. Like, it's not the sexiest move in the world. Von Miller can still be partially productive. But if he was to be brought into Green Bay, again, I think that would be more of a depth move than it would be a, hey, come in and start and be a game wrecker for us defensively. So, sure, I'm open to it. I don't necessarily want him taking snaps away from Kingsley and Igbaré, but if he cuts down the load for Lucas Van Ness, if he gets off to a disappointing start again, I'd be open to it.
Oh, what the heck? I mean, the guy had 6 sacks last
but
year.
Kyle,
would have made him one of the top pass rushers on the Green Bay Packers.
How old is he?
35.
So 36.
6 years too old. 6 years too old for Brian Gutekunst.
Yes, it is. Man, these bugs—they need to sign up these bugs for pass rushing. Because these mosquitoes got me swatting left and right.
All right. Well, there we go. That does it for the Wheel of Chris and the Interest Wheel of Chris across a few different sports. Matt on the text line chimes in. So Kyle will tell us about his bowel movements, but not where he's going for vacation.
Ding ding ding. That's facts, man. I love you, Matt. More than happy to share. Tell Matt where I'm going. Off air.
No, I'm not going to tell him.
All right, cool.
You won't even tell me. Why
would I
tell
him? Going to Mexico.
That, no, you told me that was a lie.
La, 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 bamba.
You told me you lied to me.
Nah.
All right. Tell us about Citizens Bank.
Oh, yes. Now, let me tell you something about Citizens Bank right now. If you are looking for a home loan, Citizens Bank has you. If you're looking to open a checking account or a savings account, Citizens Bank has you. If you are looking to earn interest with a CD account, Citizens Bank has you. If you notice what the theme is Citizens Bank can be here for you for all different occasions. But this is what I love about them, is that when they mean bank where you belong, they're not just talking about you being another bank account, you being another number, you just being a name. No, they are proud to have you as a customer at Citizens Bank, and that's exactly what how they will treat you. So if you're looking for a new banking home, you're looking to open up a new account, look no further than my friends at Citizens Bank by visiting them at citizensbankwi.bank. That is citizensbankwi.bank, or you can stop by one of their many local branches that they have. Always visit them at citizensbankwi.bank. You won't be disappointed. And always remember, Citizens Bank is an equal housing lender. Visit citizensbankwi.bank today.
He's Kyle Wallace and Alex Strove hanging out with you for another half an hour from the bog in Saukville for the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. I'm done with the negative Nellies. Positive Patty Strofe coming up next as the Miz gets ready to pitch in his first All-Star game.
Oh, yeah.
In just a couple of hours. And the Brewers, 16 games over 500, the hottest team in the National League. They've won 7 in a row entering the break. We do some Brewers positivity ahead of tonight's All-Star game. Coming up next, it's Kyle Bruston-Nortman on ESPN Milwaukee.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston-Nortman on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
It's probably sad,
here we go from the bog in Saukville, the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. Alex Strofe, Kyle Wallace hanging out with you until 5 o'clock tonight, leading into the Homer Hour with the Home Slice, who's very negative about the Brewers on social media the last couple of days.
That's okay. Homer has every right to have his wrong opinion. That's okay.
No, he can have his own opinion. I don't get negativity about the Brewers. He's yelling at me, but he doesn't have a microphone. I'll give you a microphone if you want one. I don't know where we have them, though. Kyle, give me your microphone. Let me argue with Homer.
There's
some right here. Okay, great.
There's head right here.
So, Homer, jump on with me, because I've been very positive. I'm very happy about the Jacob Mizorowski news, given that he will pitch in the seventh inning tonight at the MLB All-Star game. And I see you tweeting about Churio again. People are getting you to tweet about Churio again. You're not backing off that. What's going on with you? What are we...
There's nothing going on with these. Shouldn't be an all-star. It's a joke.
Why do you hate the young Brewers?
I'm not hating the Brewers. I don't have to lie about them. The issue with Churio is very simple. He has no ability to be a superstar if he doesn't draw more walks. One player in the history of baseball has done it, Roberto Clemente. Now, he can still be a very good player. He could still be an all-star. He cannot be a superstar until he draws more walks. Unless he wants to be. No. He was a superstar for 2 years. I told them back then, and people talked about it, they should trade him after a year. He will never equal those 2 years. He's been an average, slightly above average player, other than last year, since those two phenomenal years.
He's been good this year. After in June.
Now, look up his numbers for those 2 years.
Oh, now
He's not nearly been that good.
No, he's not.
MVP caliber.
Right, what?
He was MVP?
Yes. And how many years ago was that?
That was
a long time ago. So Churio is an incredibly young, outstanding player, but you can't draw that few walks and be a superstar. You can't.
Homer, you do realize he's one of three.
And so I can't say that because people don't want to talk about it. It's amazing they won't even address it.
But Homer,
now, the issue about Miz, what?
How good he is. He's one of three players in Major League Baseball this year to have 15 home runs, 30-plus runs scored.
Right, and look at those players and where they are as a hitter. They're both way above him.
That's true.
Because he's horrific. Now, he's not horrific anymore. He's just bad at drawing walks. Now, you can do whatever he wants. He's going to be an outstanding player. Is he going to be a superstar? No.
Hold on. I want to get to the Miz thing because
you shouldn't be an all-star,
which on paper
but that's not his fault.
It's not his fault.
Correct.
12 guys denied it.
No, it's not how it works. This is all so screwed up. All right. First of all, they pick players to be on the team, like Peralta.
Yep.
And then the Brewers and Peralta say, we don't give a damn. We're going to pitch on Sunday. So then he's not available, and they have to pick people to replace him. You make the team.
But McGill was picked.
Hold on. Yes, but others. And when they ask someone to replace an all-star, they say to the team, not the player, you have to be able to pitch an inning. If you won't pitch an inning, we don't want you.
Yeah, well, there
so there are two different situations of people not playing.
So that's not his fault.
What?
What are we mad at him for?
Well, no, but people need to know that He's not an all-star, should be an all-star, if they didn't have such a stupid – nobody wants to pitch. Now, the reason he's pitching is because the other people that they suggest filling in, like the kid from the Phillies,
yep,
he's a starter. He didn't want to pitch. You know, I think he actually wanted to pitch one
inning.
He did. Okay, and yet they never asked him. There were teammates on his team complaining, which is idiotic,
because they
were not informed that the team turned down his ability to fill in because they wouldn't guarantee it one inning because they wanted him to pitch on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Now, the issue is then also, if you pitch on Sunday, could you not pitch one inning on Tuesday?
But you would agree that Jacob Mizrowski pitching in the All-Star game is good for the All-Star game, yes?
Homer, are you going to watch the All-Star game tonight?
He's pitched five innings, five games.
Homer,
are you going to watch the All-Star game?
About the same as I have in the past.
So you're not going to be – so when Jacob Mizrowski's there, you're not
going to – No, he's a Brewer, so I'll watch the Brewer players.
You don't think that more people want to see a guy who can throw a
marginally. Again, that's – again. So he throws 103.
I think you're undervaluing.
Look, other people pitch 99 or 100.
But he's a starter. He's the, right now, he is the story of Major League Baseball. I would say
it's fine. He's a story, even if he's not in an All-Star game.
More people have talked about him than Kyle Raleigh right now. And Kyle Raleigh right now is on a historic pace.
Well, that's the problem on the people. That's why we have a job to try to tell people who they should be talking
but
about.
But that's the thing. Everybody's talking about Jacob Mizrowski. You have to capitalize.
I don't believe everybody is.
Oh, across the country, people are talking about. Go if you go on Twitter X, you see Jacob Mizrowski.
Now we start keeping track of Twitter X. That's good.
That's the conversation.
People are not talking about him like they're talking about, like, for example, the kid with Pittsburgh. They're talking about the Brewers because the Brewers are amazing.
When the Brewers played Paul Skeens, was Mizrowski versus Paul Skeens,
right,
that was ESPN, one of their first
stories
that they're
story
talking
right
about. Like, that was a big game,
right,
Homer.
Because of what?
Because it was Mizrowski versus Skeens.
Yes.
If it was Mizrowski
right
versus Peralta, it wouldn't have had a sold-out crowd, and it wouldn't
I
have
agree
been
so
talking
the guy from Pittsburgh was a part of it. The problem he
but
has,
Mizrowski
that he's a
it
better pitcher
he
than
is
Miz,
I agree,
is his team stinks.
They're terrible.
Team stinks.
Terrible.
Right. So, should he be an All-Star? No. The fact that the baseball is all screwed up the way they do this, that he's an All-Star, that's fine.
But you seem upset that he's an All-Star.
No, he shouldn't be an All-Star.
Yeah, but he is.
I'm
so
upset
at that, point,
that people won't even say that. People won't say it. Now they're starting to say it. Fine, he shouldn't be an All-Star. He's in the game because the selection
people,
of the All-Star
yeah
is not
but
screwed
I think it's
up.
Good. I think it's good for the game. I do. Because yeah we don't have, and I think you would agree with me on this, is the All-Star game no longer has the appeal it once had, right? When you were playing for home field advantage.
No, the home field advantage was the stupidest thing ever in sports.
Stupid to have an All-Star game in the middle of the season where it means nothing.
No,
so players
they do it
in
all sports.
Left and right.
Why? They do it in all sports.
They do, but that's a fundamental issue.
No,
baseball was the one that had it right.
What?
Playing for home field
advantage? No. That was the worst decision
why
ever.
Why is that stupid?
Because a team should never benefit from something they didn't do.
Right,
you earn home field advantage.
Yep.
It was the stupidest thing ever done in the world of sports. When you credit a team a benefit for something they didn't do.
How, Homer, when?
All right, now,
wow,
we're gonna, because St. Louis is in the South, they get home field for the hell is that?
Is St. Louis the South?
I don't care
it's
what.
The Southwest.
But they finally squared it away. The problem with the All-Star games is one thing. Players don't want to play.
They don't care.
It has nothing to do with fans. It's with players. Teams don't want players to
so
play.
So how do you make – what's your solution then? How do you make the players care? Because I think the home field advantage
NBA,
had that.
The NBA has figured it out.
No,
U.S.
No,
versus
no, no,
the
no,
world,
no,
baby.
Yeah, I agree
yeah
with you on that.
That's the best you got.
Yeah.
Do
totally
the same thing in baseball.
Well, hockey did it this past. Well, they did some.
Do the same. You have to try to create
I like
something
that. I like that.
That interests the players.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
So, but the problem is not the fans.
So USA versus the world. I thought
well,
they do it.
I don't know what you can do
the problem,
in baseball.
The problem
is there's enough players.
Are there enough American players?
Jacob Mizrowski is an American player. Paul Skeens is an American player. Kyle Raleigh is an American player.
Three.
B. Crow Armstrong is an American player.
I don't
player
know. We'll see.
That could work in baseball and basketball.
So my discussion on these topics is not that. My discussion is that people refuse to talk about certain things, and it's wrong not to mention it. The Cheerio is fantastic, but this is a problem of significance that limits how great you can be. He may figure it out, but not address it.
So
he's done better the last couple of months. He was horrific. Now he's still way below last year, but you look at his on-base percentage.
I think you motivated him, and I'm not joking when I say
good
that.
Good, I hope he did. But the one thing I want to emphasize, I don't have any worry about anything with the Brewers. They're a great organization. They have a great GM.
This
they have
the
a great manager.
Is this the best chance they've had in the last, I mean, since 2018?
Yes.
Yes, I agree.
Because if Woody
yep
and Miz can pitch at this level,
uh-huh.
and Freddie can win the World Series. Now what they have to do, and I'm sure they're doing this, I don't sec anything the Brewers do something I see, I agree with it. You haven't even checked. No, I just think they're that good.
Yep.
They probably have to wait to see that Woody and Miz continue to pitch this well, because adding a bat won't make any difference if they're not yep. always. The only benefit they can have on the Dodgers, and this would still be tough because the kid they beat up last time is still very good, is to have these three incredible starters.
Yeah. But the great thing about the three incredible starters, they also have some serviceable guys as well as part of the starting rotation.
Yeah, they got that. But that's those people.
I'm just saying.
A shorter series, yeah, they might not all start.
Right. Priester and Quintana are fine, right? They're
right.
great four and
yeah,
five options.
Yeah.
Those top three are unbelievable, but then you have the back end help as well.
Right.
In the bullpen, right?
Uribe
and McGill, etc.
You need that level of starting pitching. Because the Brewers can never put together a lineup as good as the Dodgers.
Starting to turn up around here. Homer's turning up. The Bog is turning up.
It's been good energy. Homer, I'm sure you'll be talking more Brewers at 5 o'clock with John Anderson. No Brewers.
That'll be whatever John Anderson wants to talk about.
He'll want to talk about the Brewers.
What do you think he wants to talk about?
You never know. He's got a little sugar, a little salt. He's a huge Brewers fan, so he'll talk about it. Yes, the number one thing everybody needs to know about the Brewers is they have a better chance now to win the World Series, potentially, than in any year, I don't know, somebody can find another year.
Okay. We could agree on that. We'll let Homer go. He'll be back with you at 5 o'clock. John Anderson.
I got prep I got to do. I can't.
Yeah, right. John Anderson joins us coming up next. It's Kyle Buston Norman live from the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. Away we go, wrapping up Kyle Bruston, Ortman live from the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee Open. He is Kyle Wallace. I'm Alex Stroup with you for about another 10 minutes or so. And as always, we wrap up our Tuesday edition with our buddy John Anderson, Big Daddy J.A. or Big Dumper J.A. Is that what we should start calling him after Cal Raleigh's win in the home run derby? John, Big Dumper J.A., are we onto something there?
No, not even close. That's foolishness. Of course not. No, you can't just that's that other fellow. I have nothing to do with that.
What do you make of that as a nickname, Big Dumper?
I feel like that's one of those that's better left inside the clubhouse, but you know, it's out now but I just feel like that use that with great care. How about that?
I don't know if I'll ever use it again. I heard that was his nickname the other day, and then he ended up winning the home run derby. And I'm fascinated by it. If you got a big dumper, I guess you strut it with a nickname. I guess that's how that goes.
Yeah, you do.
Well, some of it, I believe, is in relationship to size, but I believe also is some of it was his father talking about his work ethic in that, you know, you got to work your dumper off. And I believe there's some of that as well, that his old man gave him that advice.
Do you think that's why I am lacking a rear? I don't. My back is flat. Is it because I worked my butt off? Do you think that's why I'm non-existent?
Oh,
bumper?
That's hilarious. He does have no butt, John.
No, I'm assuming somebody. I'm assuming that's work-related performance, and somebody just chewed it off.
Ah, there you go. That's good. I see what he did there. All right, John Anderson with us. All-Star Game tonight. Jacob Mizorowski will pitch the seventh inning. For the National League, we were just arguing with Homer. He said he doesn't deserve it, but it's cool. Where do you stand on the Miz pitching in the All-Star game tonight?
He doesn't deserve it, but it's cool. the thing I do kind of take issue with is all these other teams that, like, yeah, there are other deserving guys, but he's essentially replacing Freddie Peralta, who can't throw because he threw the other night, right? So I don't want somebody to take the play, like, I feel like that's the Brewers' position. That's their spot on the roster. They earn that through Freddie, and so it should be replaced by a guy on the roster. So
I like that.
Who you want it to be is up to you, and I think he's right. I don't think he's mad at the kid. They're just but when was right. the last time baseball actually did something like, hey, let's see if we can get one of the really popular young people up in front there, you know? Like, nobody's mad that, I guess, Kershaw's earned his spot. I watched as a kid how many times did they, like the last 3 or 4 years, they voted Reggie Jackson in and his stats weren't anywhere near All-Star caliber. You know, it's fine. People that are taking huge offense to this, like, it's an exhibition baseball game. Like, they let it end in a tie one time.
Oh, I remember that. That was in Milwaukee.
It was, and with interleague play, like, it does not have the same juice as it had to be when, you know, when that was the only time that Johnny Bench was going to get to face off against somebody from the Yankees and some of these other things, you know, some of these great Dodgers against the Yankees that won the World Series. So, like, to me, it's an exhibition game, and that if you're really, if this is really where you're going to spend your energy, good on you, but boy, is that a waste of your time.
Yeah. John, you've been a Brewers fan for a very long time, and I'm sure you saw this. This is the most wins the Brewers have ever had in franchise history at the All-Star break. Are we watching the best Brewers team in franchise history right now?
Good Lord, no. Come on now.
Plus, I mean, numbers don't lie. Numbers don't.
Right? So it's moved back some. They're two games ahead of last year. It used to be played a little bit earlier in the summer. So, you know, where they've played 96 games. You know, so that's a big, that's the, as my dad would say on your gas tank, that's the big half, on the top half of this thing. So, I wouldn't be fooled with that, but, name me the guy on this team that's going to the Hall of Fame.
I mean, hey, I don't think there's anybody on
this
team.
Name me the guy that's going to the Hall of Fame.
Jacob Mizoroski.
Right now.
Jacob Mizoroski.
Okay, good. Okay, perfect. So he's in the All-Star game and he's in Cooperstown. That is really
yeah, exactly. All in five starts.
You want to talk about good starts, right?
Yeah.
The 2011 team had the best start.
Yeah, it's 1982. It's 1982. This is not the greatest team in franchise history. But let me rephrase Kyle's question, because I think we're on to something here. Is this the best chance they've had in the 21st century? 21st century?
It's the most surprising team. No. Dude, you're 96 games in. Let's see what they do. They had teams. They had a team get to the NLCS.
Right.
You know, go by position. Go position by position. Would you trade your third baseman for Ryan Braun? No. Would you trade your first baseman for Prince Fielder? No. Right? I mean, you go through. Would you take your
Andrew Vaughn, man, he's looking like Prince Fielder 2.0 out there.
Yeah, I wouldn't trade him, but I'll say this right now. The way Pat Murphy is managing, your boy Pat Murphy, he's getting the most out of these guys. And these guys didn't start the season great. We know the 0-4 start, but we know the struggles they had in April.
Right.
We know some of the struggles they had even early May. And the way they have bounced back just shows you the fight that they have. And so I think this is one of the best teams that we've seen in a while.
Well, they are the most surprising team. The manager is certainly better than he was in some of those other ones, right? Like that, they had, and it's amazing to me that Ned Yost eventually won a game with, won a World Series with the Royals, because I don't think he can play. Remember, and they brought in Dale Swaim, and for eight games, Dale Swaim just looked like he was ready to die every day in the dugout. He's like, this guy, he's got a great team. And Yount's trying to literally, he's like his AA advisor trying to just keep him straight and on the narrow, because he looked miserable with every game and every decision that was happening. So, yeah, Murphy has been unbelievable in what's happening here. What's, I think, great about the second half is that starting rotation, they get enough dudes that they're going to be in, like, almost every game. Once in a while, somebody's going to probably throw a stinker. But for the most part, man, they got guys that can get up there, and for five or six innings, they're going to hold you in a game. And that's really going to make them something to contend with over the last 66 games.
Fire me up, John Anderson. Fire me up, Homer, the Homer Hour with Homer. And John Anderson is coming up next. This has been Kyle Brust and Nortman live from the Bog in Saukville, the 2025 Delzer ESPN Milwaukee
Brust
Open.
Brust decided to show up for work today.
On the 30th anniversary of the Bog opening, today on the date.
Hey, Ben.
As Ben Brust makes a very brief appearance. And now he's pinching my nose. I like that. Hold on. Come back.
He missed
Send the show
so
like
much.
That. That'll do it for us. It didn't work. Kyle Brust and Nortman, the Homer Hour up next. Peace.